Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is your official Leguizamarama spoiler warning. If you have not seen 1986's...
Fours.
1984's Mixed Blood. And you don't... And you've always been meaning to, but it's been 40 years, and you're listening to this podcast. I think we need to make spoilers a little more case by case.
Hey, look, I actually think this might be one of those ones that people are like, oh, I really want to get around to watching that movie, because it's a bit like,
okay,
you know.
So if you haven't seen Mixed Blood and you want to see it, and you, if you're a spoiler person.
Like, for example, when we did like his Papa John's commercials, we probably didn't need to do spoiler warnings. But I think this one is legit.
If it's not like Thanos comes back.
Yeah, that's true. Spoiler warning, at the end of the movie, Thanos is back.
They go to the X-Men universe.
It's crazy. You've got
Beast,
to see it.
Isn't it? Anyway, spoiler warning for Mixed Blood. Please enjoy the podcast.
Peace. I hate the word.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Leguizamarama. It is a podcast where each week my friend Zach and I get in your ears and chat about John Leguizamo and everything he has ever been in, ever, including his super early works. That's right, kids, Baby Legs is back. We haven't done a Baby Legs for a while, and this is full-blown, 100% Baby Legs as we talk about Mixed Blood today. My name is Mish Wittrup. You might know me from my favorite thing that's mixed is cake batter.
Good.
Thanks. Good. Oh, God. I'm joined, as always, by my very dear friend. His name is Zach.
Yeah.
And you guys should give him a go. He's a nice boy, honestly. Like, if for whatever reason you've decided that you're not a fan of Zach, I think give him a chance.
Give him a go.
Give him a go. And you might know Zach from?
My favorite mixed thing is the original McFlurry.
Oh. My second favorite mixed thing is a tape.
Hey, good.
Thanks.
Good. Mish, I've got some news.
Ooh.
No, it's not like that.
Oh.
It's bad news.
What's happened?
Mish, you always say that we've only got a year left on Leguizamarama.
About that.
Well, I recently re-downloaded Letterboxd.
Mm-hmm.
And on the Letterboxd of John Leguizamo, it says here that we've only watched 59% of his stuff.
That's not true. No, you're missing some.
You want to help me?
Are we going to do that now?
Yeah, why not?
Yep, okay.
Did we watch Sisters?
Yes.
Oh, great.
This is going to be a good test. So, yes, we watched Sisters. That was with Annie Lumsden.
Oh, I remember. Because I haven't really been on Letterboxd. I've had people telling me.
You haven't really been on this podcast from what it sounds like.
This podcast has tracked some dark times.
No, Letterboxd is very triggering for me.
Oh,
in terms of feelings, because I feel like I could have been really good at Letterboxd.
Yeah,
but I feel like it was made for me, and I'm like, fuck, I should really get into it, but I'm so far gone now.
Mish, honey, hunty, I've just started, and I can walk you through it.
Okay.
Don't have to do it on this. This is almost my public announcement.
Do you have people following you?
It turns out I've had people following me for years. And that freaked me out.
Well, because my letterbox, one night I sat down and I think I was like, I'm going to do so many reviews. I think I did four. And then everything else is just me monitoring what we've watched by John Leguizamo.
So here's what I've realized. Two things. And this has been through the help of Jen Fricker, friend of the podcast, Alexi Toliopoulos also gave me advice. But Jen was like, you don't have to do reviews. So now I don't do reviews or stars because I don't like giving stars to things. I just track what I've watched.
Yep.
And I've cleaned it up. So I'm trying to like go back and like if I've seen something, I'll tick it off. I'm trying to like be comprehensive, but I'm accepting that I can't. And I'm just keeping a diary from the start of this year on.
Gotcha.
And so I keep a diary. I give it a like if I really, really like it. And then otherwise, I don't give it reviews. It's just me tracking what I've watched.
If our listeners would not mind, I wouldn't mind figuring out exactly what percentage of stuff we've watched by John.
Well, I can tell you once we get through this. Have we watched Ice Age Collision Course? Yes, we have. Yes, we have. I don't know which Ice Age is a which. Is
Collision Course was the media one.
Yeah. And we've watched Ride Along, haven't we?
We've watched Ride Along.
Hey, this is good news.
Who did we watch Ride Along with? I feel like that was with somebody.
Have we watched The Infiltrator yet?
No, we haven't watched that.
Oh, that looks like fun.
Yeah, no, I've been holding that one.
That's a special one. Miracle at St. Anna?
No, we've not watched that.
Oh, Spike Lee. Nice.
Well, you wanted to hold off on watching that one.
Yeah, there's a few I want to hold off on watching, yeah. Ice Age, The Mammoth Christmas Special. That's recent.
Yeah, that's why I haven't. That's recent, that one.
Who's the Boss with Danny DeVito?
We've watched that.
Oh, What's the Worst That Could Happen, I mean.
Yep, we've watched that.
Oh, look, this is fantastic. Not good entertainment.
No, I'm sure this is incredibly boring.
Have we watched The Great Escapade?
No.
Okay.
That's coming, though, because we know that Easter's coming up soon.
Moulin Rouge,
We're saving that.
Crystal?
Nope.
Directed by William H. Macy.
I know. I can't find it.
This is fun.
For us, this is the worst.
No, but this is a bit of like teasing what we may or maybe,
you know.
Oh, that's
true. Yeah.
Bring Scrat Home.
Haven't seen
Comet Scratastrophe.
Ben Russell's going to hate us.
Comet Scratastrophe. 5 minutes. And then there's Scrat's Continental Crack Up Part 2.
Nah, haven't seen that.
Surviving Sid.
Nah.
Ice Age Surviving Sid.
Haven't seen that.
See, this is the problem with Letterboxd. It's comprehensive. Empire. We've watched Empire. Yeah, that's good.
I liked Empire.
So this is I'm not listing everyone. I'm just listing the ones we... Once Upon a Time, the Superhero. We watched that.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, this is looking good.
That was a Nick Mason special.
The Groomsman.
We have not watched that. Again, can't find it.
Yeah. See, there's a few here... Paraiso Travel?
No, we haven't seen that.
Oh, that looks good. Show Business? Show Business, The Road to Broadway?
No, we haven't watched that.
Waco, The Aftermath.
Oh my God, I'm so excited for that.
The Crash?
No.
Okay. Raul Julia, The World's a Stage. Looks like a documentary about Raul Julia. Great actor. I love him. Mario Brothers, This Ain't No Video Game, a documentary about the making of the live-action Super Mario Brothers movie. We have watched that.
Yeah, we have watched that.
That's great that we've watched that. Hey, this is a longer list than I anticipated. We don't have to go through
all of them. Should we go through this on our break,
King of the Jungle, we watched that one,
didn't we? We've seen that.
Yeah, hey, maybe we're going to be okay.
From what I gathered, it's about a year, however... There's still quite a few TV series, but I don't want to do what we did with Bloodline-O-Rama again.
Yeah, but I know this is an off podcast kind of conversation, but it's like it's such a great idea in theory, but then that involves watching like 18 hours of something between episodes.
Yeah, that's true.
We do not. So we could split the diff.
Split the diff. All right, we can split the diff.
Yeah,
I just Bloodline-O-Rama nearly killed me.
Yeah, but it was funny.
I don't think it was.
I don't actually think people were like,
that was funny.
Mish,
I think people
were
like, that was stupid.
You know what most people do on podcasts like this?
What?
They watch the same thing every week for a year. They watch bad things.
Mm.
We're here watching good stuff. Mm. And just because you don't quite know what's going on,
yeah,
you get up in arms. Mish, you got to suffer for your art.
Oh, for God's sake.
And your art is Leguizamarama podcast.
Yeah, okay. I'm personally very excited for Waco the Aftermath. That one, I'm very, very pumped for that.
It's going to be fucking sick.
Yeah, that's going to be mint.
You just sort of took that, and that was a problem for me because I was joking when I described this podcast as art. And when you just took it, when you were just like, okay, it then made it left us in a place where it sounded like I just really thought that we were making art here with this podcast.
Do you know what makes me really nervous, speaking of art? If anyone ever asks me to draw something, I get very nervous. So I'm shocking at it, like really bad. If someone's like, draw a horse, it would be horrific, horrific.
Yeah, horses are hard to do.
Anything.
Do you know they didn't know which way the horse's legs went when they ran until like film photography got fast enough?
What?
So like when a horse runs... There's all these fucked paintings. I think I learnt this from the iconoclast, I think, a TikToker. I like educational TikToks. When horses run, right, there's a lot of old paintings where they've got like their legs splayed out.
Yeah.
They're like in the air because they didn't know what was happening when a horse runs because when you look at a horse running, it's just like a blur because they run so fast.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until photography got fast enough to get that image quickly that they saw exactly what was happening. So old photos of horses running.
That's so interesting.
Not photos, paintings look fucked because their legs are just like splayed in the air like they're floating.
That's such a good fun fact.
It is. Yeah.
I love that fact.
I love fun facts.
Isn't that brilliant?
Most of my TikToks are just fun fact channels.
Oh, I love that.
Julian O'Shea is another one.
TikTok's fun. I'm on Prison Wife TikTok at the moment.
Oh, Jesus. I have been on post, like, just out of jail TikTok.
Yeah, that's
for
fun.
A time. Yeah.
I'm also currently on a lot of Japan TikTok. So what to eat when you're in Osaka.
Mm.
And they're a lot of fun. I really, really enjoy that kind of, like, corner. What else have I been enjoying on TikTok this last week or so?
To be fair, I haven't been on TikTok.
Do you know what fucked me?
What?
I fell into a very dark hole the other night, where I was watching like my dog just died TikToks. So like videos of like, this was my dog when he was a puppy. And this was my dog on his first day of puppy school. And this was my dog when I brought home my daughter when the dog was 3 years old. It's my dog playing with my daughter and taking my daughter to school. And this is my dog on his final day because we had to put him down last week.
Jesus.
And it's like the most depressing, and it's usually like to a really sad song, like a James Blunt moment or a Hozier moment. And I just weep.
I hate that shit. I hate it.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
Like, I get it. Some people need to, that's how people process their grief.
Yeah, but it's interesting though because yeah, I agree with you. It is how some people process.
I'm going to do a post when Mabes dies.
Oh my god! Don't talk about Mabel dying. That makes me so sad.
Mabel's my dog. BT. Does.
My dog has to go to the vet on Monday just for his vaccinations, and if I think about it hard enough, I cry. I hate him walking into the vet because I'm scared it's the last time I'll see him.
Aww.
I'm obsessed with him.
I love doggies.
Yeah, they're the best. It's like have you watched The Doghouse? Do you watch The Doghouse?
Nah.
It is by far and away, I swear, hand on my heart, my favorite free-to-air television show.
I don't watch. I have not had this as someone who was on free-to-air television. Mm. I have not. My television has not been plugged into an aerial for 5 years.
Oh, you simply must watch The Doghouse. You can watch it on 10Play. The Doghouse is the most phenomenal show.
What is it?
Oh my god! So there's this the Animal Welfare League in Sydney, which is a lost dogs home, really, like an adoption center for dogs. These people come in to adopt a dog they find the perfect dog for them and they meet that dog and then they bond. And then at the end of the episode, they're like a few weeks later and it shows them at home with the dog. It is the most beautiful show I have ever seen in my life. I weep because it's just these wonderful, because I love people who like dogs. Dog people are my favorite people. And these people come in, they're just like, oh, you know, I'm 70 and my husband died 10 years ago and I've been all alone and I think it's time for me to get a little dog. And then that person will be matched up with like some 10-year-old Jack Russell with an underbite and they just look at each other and fall in love with each other. And she's like, oh, I'm obsessed with this dog now. Yep. And this dog is going to go everywhere with me. And it's just like the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
How fucking good are dogs?
Like superior. Superior. I've been working.
Nah, they can't open doors, but they're pretty good.
You can teach a dog to open a door.
But like they're not superior to us.
I think emotionally they are. I prefer them. I prefer them to people more often than not.
Yeah, I prefer them to people, but they're like superior. Like we've built bridges and stuff.
Yeah.
Like we're building the microphones we're talking
into. They could chew off our arms.
Yeah, but I could chew off your arm if I had enough time.
They could do it quick.
Only some dogs.
My dog could.
My dog could too.
Yeah. No, I've been working night shifts lately. Mm. I don't know if I've spoken about this. I've been working night shifts. So I've been working from like 7 p.m. till 4 a.m. Mm. Mm. It's hell. I only have a couple more weeks of it left. Thank Christ. But I've been getting home at 4 a.m., which has thrown my dog's sleeping schedule out of whack because he's so confused why at midnight I'm not home. Like, it's so odd. But he falls asleep and I get home at 4 o'clock in the morning and I am wired. I've still got at least an hour and a half of awake time in me because I've just been at work. And I open the door and I come in and I hear his little, like, coming from the back of the lounge room, running towards me, and he's just so sleepy and whacked. And I'm like, it is the most beautiful. I know it's such a standard thing to say. It's nothing revolutionary in what I'm saying. But it's the most beautiful thing to come home to at 4 o'clock in the morning is this dog whose eyes are all half closed because it's so sleepy, but its ass is like waggling like crazy, knocking him about, throwing him into walls because he's so excited to see me in his half sleepy state. And then I sit down on the couch and he jumps on top of me and sits on top of me and falls asleep again because he's so tired. But it's just such a nice thing to come home to.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, dogs are great.
Wow, you're not engaging in this one much, hey?
No, I love dogs. I got a dog and I love my dog. I love my dog.
Yeah, no, they're fabulous. My favorite...
Dogs and people have been like... Like, I think we were domesticating dogs, like, when we were nearly still cavemen. Like, dogs and people are, like, almost, like, symbiotic at this point.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
No, I think that's a fair theory. I mentioned a while ago now, way, way back in the podcast that I had a reactive dog and that, like, he's a bit tricky sometimes. And my favourite DMs I've ever gotten are from other people who have reactive dogs that are obsessed with their dogs.
Aww.
Because, like... I'm so obsessed with my dog, but he's reactive. And to hear from other people being like, oh my God, I am obsessed with my dog, but he's reactive and really difficult sometimes. I'm like, oh, they're my people. I get them.
Yeah.
Cool. What's going on with you, Zach? How's your week been?
How has my week been, Mish? It's been good. I'm trying to think of anything of note. I'm moving house at the moment, so... all very boring. It's a problem with moving house.
Buying sofas, though.
Moving house, yeah, that's true. I am trying to buy a sofa. But the problem with moving house is it's, like, so busy and you're doing shit. It's like you're always doing shit. Every night you're unpacking or you're buying little new bits and bobs from fucking Kmart because you're like, now I need a little thing here. You're so busy. But nothing about it is interesting.
Mm.
So it's like, you ask me how I am. It's like, well, I'm tired and I've been busy and I've like been doing lots and lots and lots. And there is not a single thing I could talk to you about. Oh, it took me a while to connect the television to the internet. That's fucking boring.
Yeah, that is boring. Almost as boring as my dog chat I just did before, I suppose.
No, that was good because everyone loves dogs and, like, I just spent the whole time thinking about dogs and that was really nice. No, I am buying a sofa, which is cool, but, you know, it's not really an interesting conversation. Like, it's like I want a sofa.
Yeah.
And I've been to the sofa shops and I've sat
in some. So, but hey, if there's any listeners out there that love making sofas for free, And then someone wants to make
Hit me up with a sofa.
Yeah.
Yeah, hit me up with a free sofa. No, what? I don't want a free sofa.
You know how, like, pick one. When you become an adult, there are certain things that people in your life that are also adults can bring to your life based solely on, like, career choice and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Someone who's a carpenter with lots of spare time and money would be really handy.
Yeah.
You know, someone who's just like, oh, yeah, I'll make you a new coffee table.
That would be lovely.
Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be so nice?
What is blowing my mind about buying a sofa is how many fucking people have opinions on sofas.
Yeah.
And, like,
such a personal thing.
It's such a taste thing, right? Mm. But people are like, oh, you need to get this type of sofa. Mm. And it's like, no, I don't.
No, you don't.
It's good that worked for you, but no, I don't. Everyone's got all these sofa opinions. I'm like, back off. Let me pick my sofa.
When I moved in with my partner, we got rid of my couch to keep my partner's couch because he loves his couch.
Mm.
I don't like it, but it's really bally because he's loved it to the point where it's gone all bally. And I hate it, but he's so attached to it that I've had to kind of...
What do you mean by bally?
Like, it's got the material of the couch has gone bally.
Like, oh, like fluffy
bits.
I'm thinking
of... fluffy, you understand. Fluffy.
Bally, but you were saying bally with a confidence. Is that a term?
Yeah, like bally.
I've not heard it.
That's a thing.
That's okay. I just haven't heard it. That's why I don't know it.
All right, fair enough. Hey, when we get back from the ad break, why don't we both say something that we don't know about?
How can I say what I don't know?
Like, is there a word or a thing that you don't quite understand?
Okay. But if I don't know, okay.
I've got one.
Okay, when we get back, Mish will be sharing a word she doesn't quite understand. And I will too, and it's bally.
Spoiler warning, it's bally.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, I'd like to apologize to everyone for how shocking that choice of after the ad is. And I feel like we've probably lost so many listeners.
No, I thought that was a good teaser.
No, it's shocking. Look, I don't really understand what a pomelo is. I've never eaten one. I don't know what they look like, really.
Yeah, I don't think I can really
I know it's a citrus fruit, but that's it. That's all I know.
Yeah, no.
Your turn.
A bally. I don't know what bally is. Is it when it forms into little balls?
You know, like sometimes when you get cheap clothing and under your arms it goes a bit bally, like jumpers?
Yeah.
From rubbing fabric together?
I know what you mean as much as you know what a pomelo is.
No, you don't. You surely not. You've owned cheap jumpers, right?
But I just think like lint. Are you talking about like bits of lint and bits
Yeah.
of...
Yeah.
And they're a bit bally, I suppose.
Yeah, it's exactly
They roll
right.
up into little balls.
Yes.
It sounds like it's a thing. It sounds like it's a term. I've just not heard it before.
It's a thing.
I'm not saying it's not a thing. I cannot express to you how much I'm saying this is a me thing. I've never heard the term bally before.
Fair. I'm actually genuinely quite excited to talk about the thing we're here to talk about.
Yeah.
Because... we kind of burned, there's not a hell of a lot of baby leg stuff.
No.
We kind of burned through a hell of a lot of it in our first year before we kind of got our bearings and knew about like distributing correctly. But we have got a baby legs and it's a super baby legs and I'm fucking keen. If any of you out there that love a baby legs moment, you're in for a fucking treat.
Here it comes. All right, here we go. Paul Morrissey is a counterculture film director best known for his association with Andy Warhol. He's best known for having made crazy, camp and kitschy classics such as Flesh of Frankenstein, Blood of Dracula and Trash, throughout the 60s and 70s. This week, we are not watching any of those films. Instead, we're watching some film he did in the 80s called Mixed Blood, which is a title that is not as racist as it sounds, but is still pretty racist. It is of note to us because it is the first film Johnny Legs ever appeared in.
Ever.
It sort of tells the story of a gang of Brazilian drug dealers in an area of Manhattan's Lower East Side called Alphabet City. I say sort of because it's all very vibey. I say vibey, but that's not really the right word. There's an Australian lady in a wig that looks like Marilyn Monroe, and a character that's like a sexy, sweaty Latino Forrest Gump, and a German dude who is mesmerizingly bad at acting. John Leguizamo plays one of four or five guys playing some basketball. He says nothing and is mostly obscured by another one of the basketball players.
So, oh, fuck. So, first Johnny Legs film right off, right? I spent the three quarters of the movie that he wasn't in at the start looking for him.
Yeah.
Because this film stars a lot of young Latino men.
Mm.
So in their late teens, early 20s.
Mm.
So I was just like keeping an eye out, finally, three quarters of the way through the film, he's playing basketball in a long sleeve black shirt, t-shirt. And the majority of the time there is someone standing in front of him, but he's fucking there.
But it was tough because it was so far in. Cause I was like 45 minutes in and I was like, did I miss him?
Yeah.
Because the young Latino boys died with quite a high amount.
Like, yes.
A lot of them died a lot. A
lot of gunshots.
So I was like, is he just one of the ones that are dead?
Mm.
And now I've missed him?
Well, I went back a couple of times. Like, I rewound a little bit going, oh, God, was that him who died? Oh, God, where is he? Because I couldn't find him. But then when you see him, it's like, oh, there he is.
Well, I made the decision. So at the 45-minute mark where I was like, have I missed him? I Googled who he played.
Mm.
Oh, no, I Googled him and the name of the movie, and then I saw a photo of him on a basketball court that he posted on Twitter like 7 years ago. And I was like, oh, okay, he's on a basketball court. There hasn't been a basketball scene yet. So then I was able to rest easy and I just waited until the basketball scene.
Fair.
I was in a similar position.
Do you mind if I kind of go first in terms of opinion of the film?
Yeah, Mish, you do what you want to do.
I don't know what it was about being Friday night at 12:30 in the morning, right? But I was in the mood.
In the morning?
12:30 a.m.
Like a.m.?
A.m.
So like last night?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
12:30 a.m.
No, that 100% makes sense.
Yep. Okay.
I got thrown. I just forgot that you'd said Friday night.
Yeah.
So when you said morning, I was like,
Yeah.
But yeah, no, late night.
It was late. I was in the mood for this.
Ah.
I was just like, I'm not saying that I have opinions of this film.
Yeah.
But I watched it. And this is like, I was worried that this was going to be one of those things like Night Owl.
Yeah.
Is that the name of the movie?
The vampire one?
Yeah. What's it called?
Something else. Oh, maybe it was Night Owl.
I think it's Night Owl, mate.
Maybe. Anyway,
the noir film he did.
Yeah.
Where I was just like, oh, God, I'm not in the mood for this. I was dipping in and out, like whatever. I was in this film. I watched the whole thing. I was in it, mostly looking for John Leguizamo throughout the whole thing. This is such a bizarre film, right? It isn't that it's just a little bit left of center or that it's a little bit indie or whatever. It has a real kind of hum of a Tommy Wiseau film.
Yeah.
That kind of like, that is a bizarre choice. And we've watched some cooked stuff lately. Like Point of Origin was cooked. We've watched some cooked things. This was just one of those, like, there were some bizarre acting choices, casting choices. Like, I would be really interested to know why the director made some of these choices.
Did you know all the stuff I said about him in the intro?
No.
See, I had a similar kind. I'm so glad you had the same vibe because I was watching it and I was like, this is not what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is really odd.
Yeah.
This is an odd movie. And And I was like, but it's not quite what. Yeah, it's like, I was like, I'm just, this is just, I was expecting, like, a lot of some of the stuff he did in the 90s, like, I was expecting, like, macho, like, yeah, low budget, trying for something. Mm. Night Owl is a good, like, you were right about Night Owl. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Like, trying for tough, but a bit, and I was like, but it's not that. It's got this kind of, it's got this strange, real almost strangeness, like almost queer kind of perspective in a way, very outsider, like outsider perspective. And I was just very like, what is going on with this film? What? And then I Googled it. I started Googling it and then I went on this whole like rabbit hole.
Oh, great. You can probably offer some more perspective.
Oh, a little bit. I mean, I kind of covered it in the intro.
Yeah. There was just like bizarre choices, like about 15 minutes into the movie, there's this scene where the woman who kind of runs this, what, like gang, essentially, this drug kind of drug dealing gang of youth. She has a conversation with a woman because one of her youths have died, this kid named Bobby, and they have a conversation about the food they want served at Bobby's funeral.
Yeah.
And it goes for about 7 minutes.
And they're like,
and nothing is said. They decide on a Cookie Monster cake. And they have this discussion about what food would be appropriate and how, and I put it down to, oh, this is just to show like how kind of mundane a death is and how common deaths are. And these are just kind of the formalities that have to happen. But it was far more, it wasn't 30 seconds of like, yeah, this is a bit weird. It was a 7 minute scene about, not 7 minutes, maybe it's a stretch, 5 minute scene about what food should be served at the funeral of this boy.
It was a kooky movie.
Yeah. So essentially there's this woman that runs this gang of youths that deal drugs in Manhattan, right? Mm. You'd like everything you said in your blurb. And so she kind of lives with these kids and sends them into like old broken down buildings to have shootouts with other gangs.
It had
bizarre.
It had this really interesting, like, thing going on. Hey, this is fun. I didn't know how this conversation would go. I had this real thing where I was watching it, where I was like, this is interesting, but this is something I want to listen to someone else talk about. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to talk about it. But it had this thing going on where it was like, it was. One thing I really loved about it was that it was filmed on location.
Yep.
And it was a real insight into that part of New York. Like now that's a very gentrified area. That's a very like, it doesn't look like that anymore.
No.
And this is one of those things where it's special in the way that it captures. What was that film with, have you seen Paris is Burning?
No.
So that's a film about Hell's Kitchen drag queens. It's the a lot of...
I've seen clips and I think a bit of making of.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful film, really powerful film. But that has this quality more than anything of like time and place. It really captures what that area looked like and felt like. And it's really special that you can see that because that's not what it looks like anymore. And this had that, right? So there's this real truth in the location shooting and this real truth, I think, in a lot of the casting, but this real artificial, weird outside. Like the guy, it's like I knew very quickly that the guy who is making this film is not Latino. Like I could feel it. It feels so like...
like a caricature almost of a city of a people.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's going for that or if it's like, I don't, it and it was one of those ones I was so sad I didn't have time. If I had had time, I really wanted to go and watch at least one of, because I haven't seen any of his films, but I'd heard of Blood of Dracula and Flesh of Frankenstein and I really wanted to go back and watch one of his earlier films because I read a little bit about it and about how, like, this was him moving away from his, like, he used to be a lot more kinetic with his camera work and this was him moving into a more commercial space. And I kind of, I would love, because I think it was the weird shit that I loved the most. And I would have loved to have watched one of his earlier films to get a bit of an idea of, because this was bridging a very strange gap between experimental and mainstream.
Yeah. Like, without a doubt, 100%.
Like, it was odd because it sometimes felt like a mainstream-ish kind of independent
Absolutely,
film.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then other times, yeah, they were just talking about ice cream for well, like that's it.
And it's like
minutes.
They would go from these like really intensive like moments of like youth being brought up in like extreme poverty and drug use and then the coming into like gang culture and this really intensive kind of subject matter, and then just some German dude just coming in and just being like, I'm not happy. Like, it's just odd.
Yeah. But,
and then that woman, this woman who is the German dude's girlfriend, who decides that she's kind of like, what, in love or like fancies the son of the gang leader. And so she decides she is the most bizarre character. She's Aussie. She's an Australian. And it's funny, you probably looked her up,
yeah,
I'm
that's
guessing.
Why I said it,
yeah, so she looks like Marilyn Monroe because she was known for being a Marilyn known, I don't know how well, but she was a Marilyn Monroe impersonator. That was her job. And it's the most bizarre. She starts the film doing an American accent. And then by the end of it, she's just Australian. She's
completely
Australian accent. Like, doesn't keep it at all. And her character is so bizarre. And it's not even, like, bad acting. It's like she was just didn't know a camera was on her.
Yeah, like, weird direction. And
really strange. And so, it was this weird. I'm not saying that the director didn't know what he was doing, but it felt like three different genres. Not really even combined into one, just like placed separately throughout the film in little spatterings.
Look, I don't know much at all about Andy Warhol. I know a lot of people, like I really don't know a lot about Andy Warhol. But I think a big part of what he did, he gets in trouble a lot in hindsight for like taking credit for other people's work.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of what he did was like curate. He was very interested in interesting people.
Mm.
And I think a lot of what he did was just like find interesting people. And I think that's the sense I got. He didn't present this film. This was after his time, but he collaborated with this director for like 20 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just get the sense that it's like, I don't know how much. There's a part of me that feels like he was just like, this guy's a kook.
Mm.
And he makes kooky movies.
Well, like I said, it had a really, like, a series. It was just a little hum of it, but, like, this Tommy Wiseau from, like, Room fame, obviously, from The Room fame.
Mm, no, I felt that as well.
And it was just kind of like this, there's got to be some intention here. Like, he's got to know what he was doing, but this is some odd choices.
It had as well. And then when I heard that he came from underground cinema, I was like, oh, that. But it had as well, like, yeah, because I'm on this thing with The Room, like, and how much I hate the term "so bad it's good," because it's like, it's never so bad that it's good. Mm. It's
you enjoyed it or you didn't enjoy.
Yeah, you enjoyed it or you didn't enjoy it, and there was something inspired about it.
Yeah,
whether as there's a film I screened recently at Lido called Samurai Cop, which is just amazing, right? And it's not because it's so bad that it's funny.
Yeah.
It's because it's so strange.
Yeah.
Like the choices they're making are strange.
But it's the choices that they made, even if they are strange, they were entertaining choices. So
or compelling.
The Room, I enjoyed The Room.
Yeah.
I enjoyed The Room. I don't think it's like, if it can't be bad if I enjoyed it. It's made a lot of money. It's pretty infamous. Yeah. It's a cult classic for sure. But then you take a movie, and we'll use it as an example because it's Leguizamarama, like The Counselor. Which was just a bad film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like there were some fucking weird choices in that. Bizarre. Strange. And those choices made it bad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but then, I don't know. Yeah, this movie was just a very, it just was not what I was expecting.
No, I didn't expect it at all.
I wish I had had the time to watch at least one of his earlier films. It just felt like this needs the context of him doing his 60s stuff.
That's the director in you for sure. This made me want to watch Street Fighter again. Street Hunter? Street Hunter.
Street Hunter. Is that the one where he's got the big coat?
You know, he plays Angel and yeah. he's like the little like assistant-y like, oh, I'm going to fuck him up from like the late 80s. Baby Legs.
Yeah.
But it made me want to watch more Baby Legs again, but where Baby Legs actually fucking does something. He was in this film, but genuinely take him out of it and it would have made no difference to the film like whatsoever.
He was an extra.
Literal extra. But it made me think like he would have gotten this job when he was in acting school.
Yeah, I don't know the timeline, but yeah.
Because fucking Miami Vice didn't come till 1988.
Yeah.
And this was 4 years before that it was made. It was made in 84, I believe, released in 85. But this was 4 years after that was made. Yeah. So he was like young. And it's like, it was crazy. And I don't know anyone else from this cast except for the Marilyn Monroe impersonator. I don't know her, but she's the only one I know has done other things.
Yeah, you're aware. Is that, yeah.
That I'm aware of.
The gang leader is apparently a very successful Brazilian actress.
Yeah, but I've never seen anything she's done. She was mesmerizing.
I haven't seen a lot of Brazilian films.
There's this scene where she just starts singing and dancing as well. I loved that. Like, I really enjoyed that scene. But, like, I thought it was also, I didn't know what to expect when I was watching this movie. I didn't watch the trailer or anything. I read a very, very small one or two sentence blurb on Wiki, and literally the second sentence, when you read about this film, the second sentence in relation to this film is, this was John Leguizamo's first film.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't know anything about it. But I do think that the angle of this gang being led by this kind of alpha female role was very interesting. I've never seen that before. But bizarre.
Yeah, no, it's like I've seen it before, but I've never seen it done. Like I've seen the alpha female, but she was like a soft, motherly. There was a lot of. It was fascinating. It really made me want to watch other stuff by this guy just to get it. Just to get it. Like I don't know how I felt about this film. I wish I'd seen it under your circumstances. I watched it in the morning, like after I woke up, and it definitely wasn't a morning.
No, this
morning.
Is like a 12:30 at night.
And
halfway
really,
through a bag of Doritos.
Really what it is like going down to a cheap, like an art house cinema in Times Square in the 80s, like watching this in a cinema. You know.
Yeah, smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. Oh, is that Andy Warhol in the back?
Yeah.
That's the circumstance you really want to watch it. But I can feel its influence. this is the thing. I've wanted to watch his earlier films for a while, and this makes me really want to do that because I think there's just like it's this really fascinating thing where it's like I feel like this is his later stuff, but I can see in what he's doing, I can see how there's certain kinds of filmmakers that would have watched his earlier stuff.
Yeah.
And I can see how what he's done has actually influenced.
And I think you touched on it before. I think something that he did that in terms of that influence is that he took New York and New York was a character really.
Yeah.
The way he shot New York at this time and the way that the characters kind of interacted with New York, I thought was very, very interesting.
Yeah.
So, does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. And like, there's just there's like this, it's also really interesting having watched Kids recently. That's a film that was like lauded at the time. That was made about 10 years later. Lauded at the time for being really realist and almost documentary-like, which isn't entirely true. It was written but it felt like documentary. And what's interesting is this had some of that quality, but then also it really, really, whether intentionally or not, felt very artificial as well.
Yeah.
And it made the real stuff feel even more real. It's like almost like some of the actors felt more real because they couldn't act. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no, 100%.
It was like there was this like you saw the artifice, so then underneath, I don't know. It's interesting because when it first started, I was like, what is this?
but don't you reckon as well, like this little kind of hum undercurrent of Tommy Wiseau stuff, there was this little hum undercurrent of West Side Story.
Yeah, 100%.
There was something about this film, because it's obviously it's this Brazilian gang versus a Latin gang of kids, of youths, right, teenagers. And there was, like, it opened and I was like, this feels like it's a musical.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like West Side Story. They dressed similarly. There was this kind of battle between young boys and it was just like, this, surely that came into it as well. And then it had nothing to do with musical theatre until she started singing and dancing randomly in the middle. But there was that. There was this hum of a kind of like
musical. It was almost like musical. Using West Side Story to contrast itself with the more realistic depictions of actual gang violence.
But even, and now I think about all the balcony stuff.
This is fucking with me. I did not think this movie had this in it.
No, but now I think about it, like when there was a, because there's lots of shootouts in this
film.
There's these like abandoned buildings and balconies and people standing on balconies with guns. That's very West Side Story.
Yeah.
Like up on the balconies and stuff, having it out.
It felt deliberate.
That didn't even occur to me until just now.
But do you know what I'm saying? Like I didn't think this movie was going to elicit this level of conversation. I thought we'd be dancing around the fact that it was a bit weird. You know what I mean? Like, I just, it's a really interesting.
I would recommend people to watch
depth. And I don't think I would have said would recommend you to watch it. There's depths to this. I think almost like let me watch some of his other ones first, and I'm going to make a vow, not next week, because I'm busy.
Yeah.
No, we're recording too.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks from now, I will have watched some more of his films.
Great.
And I'll talk to them.
I think that if you're at all intrigued by what we're, go have a watch. Was it my favorite movie? No. But it is one of those examples of, if we had not done this podcast, I would not have watched that film.
No, yeah.
And I'm really glad I kind of stumbled across it, because it is not the kind of film I usually watch. And I was in the right headspace for it. And I don't think I'll ever watch it again.
No.
It's not that kind of vibe, but I'm glad I watched it. Have a watch. Keep your eye out for Johnny Legs.
Interesting.
Really, really interesting.
It's a real, like, you know, here's what I got out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that sometimes people nowadays can be really quick to judge something.
Mm-hmm.
They're really quick to, like, the first question people ask after a movie is, did you like it?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone always says, did you like it? And I don't like that being the first question you ask. I think that did you like it shouldn't come until about a day after you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying this film is good. I'm not saying anything about that. But what I'm saying is, this film, its value to me and its, what makes it interesting, has come out of this conversation, not necessarily in the watching. And I think it's a great lesson in, instead of going, oh, I hate this movie, people do it like as they're watching it now. People are like, oh, I hate this character. And it's like, they might turn around. Like, that's how movies work. But even like straight after the movie, instead of going, was it good, was it bad, or did you like it? Like, I think this is a testament to, like, talk about it.
Yeah.
Talk it through. Don't go good or bad. Just talk about it and then decide if you like it or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you like this film?
Oh, give me more time, man. it's a kooky film.
It is odd. Do you have any final thoughts?
Do I have any final thoughts on this film? No, I don't think I do. It's just one I want to keep. I really want to watch his other stuff. I've said it already, but I really want to watch a few of his earlier films because I think that would give it a lot of context.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
I'll tell you a fun final fact.
Please.
Give me a picture of what you think the director would be like. What do you think his politics are? What do you think his ideas are? Like,
he's white.
Yeah.
A white man. What his politics are.
Like, what's the vibe, do you think? Like, what's the kind of...
Probably like an Andy Warhol, an oddball kind of type.
Surely an oddball. Conservative, straight Catholic, though.
No, really?
Yeah, he had, like, he said, I don't know how much of this is like a layer, but he said that he was a conservative Catholic, strong Catholic, and all of his films were meant to be like illustrations of if you go too far down that path and blah, 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 blah. That's what he said.
I would never have guessed that.
Isn't that a strange layer?
Very strange. Thank you for that. In terms of Leguizamo's Stamos, I think taking into consideration when it was made, how old he was, the whole baby legs experience, I'm going to give this 4.
Wow.
Of Leguistamos, to be clear.
Yeah.
I think that for the time it was made, for the type of movie it was, and for the role that he played, I'm giving it 4.
That's great. I'm giving it 3.5.
Okay.
I'm giving it 3.5 because, and I think it would have gotten quite a good score.
Mm.
I reckon it probably would have gotten 2.5 even if he wasn't in it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Yeah. But I'm giving it 3.5 Leguistamos. Amish. I'm giving you 5 Leguistamos.
Zach, I'm going to give you 5 Leguistamos.
Thank you. You're too kind.
Thank you. What should Tom take us away with?
I want to be in America. I want to be in America.
Yeah, something. America. Yeah, from West Side Story. Yeah, do that.
No, just what I just did.
Oh, Tom, just that.
Just loop it. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much. We'll chat with you next week. Bye bye now.
I want to be in America. 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 I want to be in
America. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.